Let's just look to the Lord for his help. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank thee this evening for that dear, loving Savior, the Lord of glory, thy beloved Son, that one who came from the heights of glory to seek and to save that which was lost. So we praise thee for that one, thy delight, and the one in whom most of us here have come to love and to delight in also. And so we just pray this evening, if there be one soul yet lost in their sins, that they might just come in simplicity as a needy sinner and receive the Lord Jesus and go on their way rejoicing. So we just pray for thy blessing upon thy word this evening and help in all things. And give thee thanks in Jesus' worthy precious name. Amen. So our hymn that we just sang kind of touches on what I have on my heart this evening. We've just, over the past few days at this conference, we've been enjoying the truth of the love of God and what God has done for us. You know, I used to have the idea that God was out to get me. Do you know God is a loving God? God cares about each one here. He cares about individuals. He cares about you. He cares about me. And he is for you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is a giver God. He's a loving God, and he's a Savior God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So I have good news this evening, but there's also a solemn side to it. And that is that God is holy, God is righteous, and God cannot have sin in his presence. But thankfully, God has made full provision so that our sins can be put away. And yes, the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, the eternal Son of God, came from the heights of glory down into this world of woe, was born of a virgin, laid in a manger over 2,000 years ago because there was no room for him in the inn. And that blessed Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. Perhaps there's someone here that is still lost in their sins. The Bible tells us if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine unto them. God has made full provision. God is light and God is love. He loves you. He loves me. And I see some little children here. I know when I was just a little child, I didn't pay much attention to the meeting. I can remember I used to count the squares in the ceiling. My mind was always on, I was watching the clock pretty close. I think that's where I first learned to tell time. I wanted to get out of there as soon as I could. But you know, the Lord Jesus cares about each boy and each girl here. Even if you're just a little child, he took the little children up in his arms and blessed them. He desires to bless you. He desires for your richest blessing. You know, we like to have our own way, but the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. So when we die, we're not like a dog, we don't just stay there in the ground, but we have an eternal soul. And you're either going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus, that dear loving Savior, or in hell with the devil and the damned, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Word of God tells us, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have a God that delights in mercy. He wants to show you mercy. But it's important that you realize that you're a sinner. I had a man come to my door just in the last few weeks and told me he was fainting. He needed some food and water. And so as he was there, and I gave him something to drink and something to eat, I tried to speak to him about his soul. I said, he thanked me for what I gave him. I said, "I'm not just giving you this because I'm a nice guy. I'm giving it to you because I belong to the Lord Jesus, and I want to share his love with you." Well, as we talked for a few minutes, and I told him I said, "You know, we've all sinned," and I thought, surely this man that was homeless, had told me his hard luck story about how he didn't have a place to live, and I thought, surely he would realize he was a sinner. But he thought I was pointing the finger at him and accusing him when I told him that he was a sinner. He took offense at it. And he said, "Well, what have I done?" You know, the best thing to do is to take sides with God. I finally, after talking to him, and you know what he did? He blamed God. He said, "I've tried to do what's right, and then God makes it so that I have all these problems." And that's what man does. The natural man cannot understand the heart of God. But you know, even the problems that may come into your life, God is good, and he allows trials for our good and blessing. I can remember when I wanted to go my own way and do my own things, I had all kinds of problems. You know, I still have problems, but I've got one that'll help me through them now. But there was a time, the Bible does tell us, that the way of the transgressor is hard. So God in his goodness sometimes allows trials to wake us up and realize that we need him. Well, sad to say, that man was not willing to admit to the Lord that he was a sinner. And he went off on his way. He said, "I have to go." And he went on down the road. You know, this is the last gospel meeting tonight. I don't know if that man will have another chance to be saved or not. We have no guarantee of how much time we have in this scene. I just heard this evening of someone that passed into eternity. Time is short. David could say, "There is but a step between me and death." This may be the last gospel meeting. Not only here at this conference, but it could be the last one. The Bible tells us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's no guarantee of tomorrow. I've sometimes walked through the graveyard and I see some stones there where people live quite old, and there's also, you read the dates, there's some where they were very young. Sometimes even people that died before they ever came out of the womb. So there was no guarantee. Whether you're old or young, none of us know the time when we'll pass into eternity. You're but one heartbeat away from eternity. And in the book of Daniel, there's a verse, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified?" I look around this room, I think I know most of you. And you know, when we don't, if we don't act on the gospel, that the danger is that our hearts become hardened. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Time is short. And you know, if you do not come to the Lord Jesus while you can, there will come a day when it is too late. I used to go to school with a boy. I remember him. He used to sit next to me in some of my classes, and another boy came in, and he told that boy the gospel. And he heard the gospel, how he could be saved. And you know, he mocked that boy and made fun of him. I had never told that boy the gospel. I didn't want him to make fun of me. I thought he might make fun of me. But another boy, he gave him the gospel. And you know, it wasn't, he just made fun of him and mocked. But it wasn't too long after that that boy went into eternity, died a violent death. We have. Nowadays, it seems like every time you turn on the news, kids getting shot in the schools. We used to feel pretty safe when we went to school when I was a boy. I don't say these things to scare you, but to warn you. These issues are eternal, and it's important. I looked around, I saw two boys that weren't listening. They were talking. There is nothing more important than where you spend eternity. Any moment, you could be the next one to go into eternity. I don't say it to scare you, but to warn you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus, that one who came from the heights of glory, came for you. Does it mean nothing to you? He loves you. He loves me. Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That one who made the universe, that one who makes his sun shine on the just and on the unjust, he sends rain for the wicked. God is good. God is love. And he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you come? You can come just as you are. You don't have to improve yourself. Come now. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's only one that can satisfy your heart and mine. This world is too big, our hearts are too big for this poor world to satisfy it. But the Lord Jesus is the one that satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He can give living water. He could say to the woman in John 4 that was a sinner, as far as the waters of this world, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into life everlasting. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, we would think surely men would accept him. They would welcome him. But no, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received him? You can, right while you sit there in your chair, in simple faith. Own that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you want him to be your Savior. And he can save you now. He will save you now if you trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know most here have heard the gospel before, but I'm going to go over it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who made this world, the eternal Word, came into this world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In John 4, you get him satisfying the longing of the heart of a sinner. In John 3, you get him meeting the needs of Nicodemus, showing Nicodemus what was required. But you know, he also is the one that gives what's required. It's necessary that you have a new life. You must be born again. You need a new life before God. But if you trust him, you'll have that new life. And he also said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, for you, a guilty sinner, to come into the presence of a holy God, someone had to pay the punishment for your sins and for mine. And that the only one that could do it was the Lord Jesus. Even though he was the eternal God, the creator of the universe, he became a man. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, taking the little children up in his arms and blessing them, helping the lame, healing the lame, allowing the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Glorious Savior, raised the dead, all that were sick and oppressed. He was the one that can meet the need. And whatever the need is that you have, he can meet that need. But your greatest need is a Savior. He alone is that Savior. The Bible tells us there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He loves you. And that's why he came into this world, so that you could be saved. He hasn't asked us to do some hard thing, but simply come in simplicity and trust him. You know that blessed Savior whose hands were stretched out in good and grace to his creature all through his life? Sad to say, he was not welcome in this world. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Yes, man is a sinner. When we get in the presence of one that is holy, as a guilty sinner, the tendency is to want to do like what Adam and Eve did, flee from the presence of the Lord. We know that Cain went out from the presence of God. I can remember, before I knew the Lord Jesus, I used to, I can remember how glad I was to get out at the gospel meeting. But you know, that very Savior whom I feared as a judge had come to pay my price, to take care of my guilt, to take care of my sins. And he has done exactly that. Wicked men took the Lord of glory, and they raised him up on a cross of wood, and he hung there between heaven and earth for my sins and for yours, if you will have him. The Lord of glory cares about you enough that he allowed his creature to nail him to a tree. Couldst thou be delighted with creatures such as we, who when we saw thee slighted and nailed thee to a tree? And the answer is yes. His delights were with the sons of men from a past eternity. And you know, those sins that you did caused that blessed Savior to have to suffer there on the cross, the just for the unjust. And yet, he did it in love, that you might have your sins forgiven. And while there on the cross, while man heaped upon him every indignation they could heap, the servants smote him with the palms of their hands. They spit in his face. The only man that was worthy of homage and of praise, man despised and rejected and cast him out, was religious men as well as those that we would outwardly consider vile sinners. So whether you're religious, maybe you come to meeting every Sunday, maybe you know lots of verses, you know how to say and do all the right things, but has your heart ever been washed in the precious blood of Christ? God knoweth the heart. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And it says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. So as God looks down, he sees either a heart stained with sin or a heart that's been washed in the precious blood of Christ. If you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your sins will be washed clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, we touched briefly on what man did to the Lord Jesus. They heaped upon him every insult they could do. They said, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, if thou be the Son of God, come down and save thyself. We sometimes sing at him, himself he could not save. Love's stream too deeply flowed. In love himself he gave to pay the debt we owed. Just his dying at the hands of men would not put away our sins. It shows how guilty we are, because our hearts were told out in what men did to the blessed Savior. The only man who never sinned, in him was no sin, he did no sin. He who delighted to do the will of his Father, he who did always please God, he who honored his Father in the midst of a world where we had dishonored him. That one that grew up as a tender plant, as it were, to the glory of God and everything he said and did, perfectly displaying the heart of God as he passed through this scene. He could say, He that has seen me has seen the Father. He came to make known the heart of God so that we might share his joys. He dwelt in the bosom of the Father in a past eternity, knew the joy of that fellowship, that love of the Father. And his delights were with the sons of men. He desires that you be saved far more than I do. I care about you. I desire that you'd be saved. I can think of nothing more solemn than passing into a lost eternity. Nothing more solemn. How awful the cost if my soul should be lost and I die in my sins without Christ. But there's no need for anybody here to pass into a lost eternity. I can remember when I had driver's ed, and if we watched they wanted us to encourage us to wear a seat belt, so they showed us, they had a highway patrolman on there, and there was his car just beat up and totally smashed up, but the officer said, and the girl that was driving, a 16-year-old girl, had passed into eternity. She'd been killed in an auto accident. He said, "I see this car beat up," he said, "totally smashed up, but," he said, "I can still see," he said, "there's room in there for someone to live. If that person would have had a seatbelt on and stayed in there, they would have lived." I want to say, God has provided room for you. That girl, all she would have had done was fastened her seatbelt that night before she went off in her car. All you have to do is come as a needy sinner and put your trust in the Lord Jesus. There's room for you to live. Why will you die? Lord Jesus, the Word of God tells us, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his evil ways." God delights in mercy. God longs for your salvation. And that's why he's given his beloved Son. And the Lord Jesus, in those 3 hours of darkness, he bore the judgment of a holy God against sin. Stroke upon stroke, as God's wrath awoke, fell upon him for me, for you. God's beloved Son bore the judgment, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're passing on, we're quickly passing. Where is your faith? Is it in the Lord Jesus? Have you ever seen yourself? I see, as I look around the room, I notice there's still some boys in the back row, and they're not listening. I want to say, listen. Your soul is at stake. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. There's coming a day, if you do not trust the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, you're the one that came to die as your Savior is going to be your judge, and you are going to burn in hell for all eternity, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't like to speak about the judgment of God. God has done everything so that you don't have to pass into that a lost eternity. But you will go there if you do not receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Turn ye, why will you die? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and that's eternal death. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's nothing more solemn than going into a lost eternity. And the Lord Jesus bore that judgment so that you wouldn't have to bear it. On Jesus, God's just vengeance fell that would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race and thus became their hiding place. Will you trust him? Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Oh, will you trust him? You know, God loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to be saved. I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, but these things are important, and God repeats himself in his word. I'm thankful that I heard many gospel meetings when I was a boy, but you have no guarantee that this will not be your last. Please, listen and obey. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord. So shall it be well with thy soul, says in Jeremiah. Oh, will you listen to the gospel Will you trust the Lord Jesus, that dear, loving Savior? Receive him this moment, and peace shall be thine. You have everything. Story is told of a captain in an army that was a believer. He heard some men talking after they had heard the gospel, and they were talking about what it would cost them if they did not, if they became Christians. And he said, "Man, that's the wrong way to look at it. Think of what it's going to cost you if you don't believe the gospel. You have everything to gain if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you have everything to lose if you don't trust him." The Son of God hung on a cross for you to bear the judgment that you deserved, and also to show you how much he loves you. We sang those words this morning. There from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? He suffered all that for you and for me. Will you trust him? He's worthy of your full confidence. He faileth not. He will never let you down. Even those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have failed him many times. Even in our witness for him and things we do, but he has never failed us. And he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That's the kind of Savior we have. One that loves us perfectly and wants the very best for us. You know, before we're saved, we think we know what's best. But after we're saved, we find we have a Savior that knows far better. His way is perfect. He will never fail. The Lord Jesus hung there in 3 hours of darkness. He bore the judgment of the sins of every one that will trust him. If you trust him as your personal Savior, you can say, "He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." After the Lord Jesus suffered, tells us, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He had exhausted, in those 3 hours of darkness, he exhausted the judgment of a holy God against sin. That judgment that we deserved for all eternity, he has borne it for you and for me. Have you ever thanked him for it? Have you ever come in simple faith and trusted him? Said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me." If you trust the Lord Jesus, you'll never be sorry. Will you trust him tonight? Thankfully, men took the Lord Jesus down. They put him in a tomb. But after 3 days, the Lord Jesus rose again, mighty victor over the power of the grave. Through death, he might deliver them who through all their lifetime were in fear of death. We no longer have to fear death. Death has lost its sting for the believer. We know we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. We have something better to depart. To be with Christ is far better. Are you going to be there? Are you going to see the face of the man who died for you? Will you trust him? You'll never be sorry. He alone can satisfy your heart. He alone can take away all your sins. All your sins, so great, so many, can be washed in the precious blood of Christ if you simply trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, will you trust him? God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, will you come to him in simplicity, receive him, and you can go on your way rejoicing. He will take care of all your sins, so great, so many, and his blood can be washed away. See, our time is running out. Let's just sing a hymn. Number 2.
Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Oh.
time has passed. I'll just quote three more verses. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's pray. Our blessed God and our Father, we thank thee for the gospel of thy grace. We thank thee for thy love. Thank thee for the full and free salvation thou hast provided through that work that the Lord Jesus accomplished. We do just pray for thy blessing on thy word. We pray, Lord, we fear. There's still someone here yet lost in their sins. We pray that thou wouldst work in their heart. Oh Lord, we just cry earnestly for them. They might have no peace until they put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that they might do it before it's too late. We just pray for thy blessing on thy word. Thank thee again in Jesus' precious name. Amen.